Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You are listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we're going to review Juice B. Crypt's, the latest album from experimental rock band Battles. But first, we're going to share some songs from bands in costume, Jim.
Yeah, in honor of your favorite holiday ever, Greg, Halloween, you live for this time of year. Listen, you know, pop music in general is about reinventing oneself, crafting a persona that is not necessarily who you are, right? But certain bands, it seems to me, go above and beyond dressing, you know, the role, never being seen sans that costume.
Yeah. Every day is Halloween, right? When you're on stage, at least, right? That certainly applied to the first band I want to highlight, Paul Revere and the Raiders from the 60s. They were an Idaho band. And, you know, this garage rock thing was starting up back in the 60s, you know, inspired in a lot of ways by the Beatles and Ed Sullivan. And in many ways, Paul Revere and the Raiders presaged that. The leader of the band was actually named Paul Revere. His last name was Dick. He dropped that from a number of reasons, shortened the name, and I think in order to sort of stand out, he thought, you know, let's go whole hog with this Paul Revere concept. I mean, Paul Revere, of course, the Revolutionary War figure immortalized by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem, you know, the British are coming. Well, the British were indeed coming in the 60s. That British invasion was coming as well. Paul Revere and the Raiders were one of the North American responses to that British invasion. R&B-styled garage rock combined with these corny Revolutionary War-style costumes. You know, Paul Revere was wearing these tri-corner hats on stage while playing the keyboards. I mean, you talk about shtick, it sounds so corny. It had to be cornball. But man, those 45s that they put out during that era were pretty tough-sounding R&B records. The lead vocals of Mark Lindsay, they had a really, really good guitar player named Drake Levin, who Hendrix actually came to see when the band toured and played in Seattle. And Levin was one of Hendrix's early favorites. You know, he had that flamboyant style. And Levin apparently was an inspiration for some of Hendrix's own flamboyance. The track I want to play from Paul Revere and the Raiders is one of their big hits from 66, Just Like Me on Sound Opinions.
It's just like me, say to you, help me do, help me true. And what I'd like for you to say is you'll come home.
It's just like me, it's just like me. I have no
That was Paul Revere in the Raiders, the ultimate costume band from the 60s in many ways, with Just Like Me
See,
and
I don't,
Sound
I,
Opinions.
You know, their presence in the new Tarantino film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, underscored why I don't like them. I think the shtick overpowered the music.
I don't see how you wouldn't have seen them on those records. Those records still sound great to me in terms of the context of, you know, R&B-inspired garage rock from the 60s, you know?
Yeah,
I
well,
think they fit right in with that Nuggets compilation.
I'm going to lay some garage rock from the 60s on you for my first pick that is way ahead of its time and where the costumes were not overshadowing the music. The Monks are one of the most fascinating stories in rock history. In the early 60s, you had five American GIs stationed in Germany. They started their band at that point when they were still in the service, and then they all were discharged and kept the band going. Originally, just a regular garage band, pre-Beatles this is, early 60s, and then they changed their name and they changed their outfits. The Torques became the Monks, and they dressed in, monk habits, the rope around the waist. They cut the little patch of hair from the, I think it was called a censure, right? From the back of their heads. I mean, they went full on monk. And that wasn't the only thing that was fascinating. They're playing the tough clubs of the Reeperbahn in Hamburg, which of course is where the Beatles cut their teeth before they put on suits and became mop tops. And they are raw and ragged and bringing in experimental sounds like feedback. At the same time, they have a banjo as one of the five instruments. Legendary were the tales of the one and only album they made in their heyday, Black Monk Time. And then bassist Eddie Shaw, decades later, writes a book of that name, and they become even more mysterious and beloved and great cult figures. And the record finally comes out in 1997 under the aegis of Rick Rubin, Black Monk Time, just post the alternative era. And yeah, it was as weird and forward-looking and chaotic and noisy in 97 as it must have been in 65. Although 65, there had been nothing else like that, right? You know, Eddie is a good writer, really good writer, and he had once said, a monk is anyone who has a belief and goes into a discipline to achieve a result. That's what these amateur musicians were. And he added, there's a little monk in all of us. You know, the Monkees had a theme song. Lots of bands in the 60s had a theme song. This was the Monks' theme song, Monks Chant on Sound Opinions. The Monks, Monk's chant or monk chant. You see it different ways in different places. Now, Greg, tell me that doesn't blow Paul Revere away.
I like Paul Revere. I'm sorry. You're not going to get me to back off that stance.
Right,
I like those singles a lot.
Redeem yourself. Give me another costume band pick.
I will. I'm going to go with MF Doom, the rapper, one of the best rappers of the last 20 years. MF Doom, he wears this mask on stage whenever he performs. It's patterned after that Marvel Comics supervillain, Dr. Doom. He uses it to create many personas. You know, there's Danger Doom, there's Doom Starks, JJ Doom, Nehruvian Doom, Metal Face. They've all made albums under this persona. The one I like the best is the Mad Villain persona with Mad Lib, the 2004 record Mad Villainy. Now, MF Doom's been doing this kind of persona thing from the very start of his career. He used to appear in New York City clubs in the late 90s wearing a woman's stocking over his head. So anonymity is something this guy craved so that he could be more playful in the way he appeared. He has abused this privilege in some years. People have said that he has performed, he has sent up an imposter in that mask to perform some of his concerts. And eventually he did own up to saying, yeah, I did send up another guy in my stead, a few stand-ins yeah. along the way to further play with the concept. But it's all MF Doom on these records, and you can hear it very clearly on the Mad Villainy LP. I think it's a masterpiece of the 2000s in collaboration with the producer Mad Lib. Here's a track from that record. It's called Accordion from Mad Villain on Sound Opinion.
Off borrowed time, the clock tick faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster. Dick Dastardly and Muttley with sick laughter. A gunfight and they come to cut the mix master. ICE Cole, nice to be old. Y2G Steve twice to threefold. He sold scrolls, lo and behold. Know who's the illest ever, like the greatest story told. Keep your glory, gold and glitter. For half of his to take him out the picture. The other half is rich and it don't mean to. Villain, a mixture between both with a twist of liquor chase. It with more beer, tasting like truth or dare. When he at the mic, it's like the place get like, oh yeah, it's like they know what's about to happen. Just keep your eye out like I capping. Is he still a fly guy clapping if nobody ain't hear it? And can they testify from in the spirit? And living the true gods, giving y'all nothing but the like two broads. Got more lyrics than the church, got ooh lords. And he hold the mic in your attention like two swords. Either that, or either one with two blades on it. Hey you, don't touch the mic like it's AIDS on it. Yeah, it's like the end to the means. The type of message that sends to the fiends. That's why he bring his own needles and get more cheese than Doritos, Cheetos, or Fritos. Slip like Freudian, your first and last step to playing yourself like accordion. When he at the mic, you don't go next. Leaving cats like wilds need Kotex. Exercise index won't need Bowflex and won't take the one with no skinny legs like Joe Tex.
That was MF Doom in his Mad Villain persona from the Mad Villainy LP in 2004 with a track called Accordion, The Man in the Mask. Jim, what do you got next for us?
Well, Greg, when you were talking about imposters going out on occasion for MF Doom, who is a genius, you know, of course, Kraftwerk did that, too. You know, they had numerous costumes through the years, some of them questionably politically incorrect. You know, and sometimes they wanted to send out the robots to tour for them. I think it's a great idea. As far as I know, my next costume band has never sent out imposters, although they have not been seen in the flesh since the late 90s. I'm talking about Daft Punk, of course. Guy Manuel de Homem Christo and Thomas Bangalter, the Parisian duo, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, is one of the most important bands in electronic pop music, dance music in the last 25 years. From the influence they've had over everybody in that genre and other people like Kanye West building tracks on them, what they've done with electronic instruments, I think, pushes the boundary of where Kraftwerk had left it by the beginning of the 80s. They used to go out and just be themselves, but nobody cared about them at that point. They really, you know, started to become revered when they put on the robot helmets. Mm-hmm. And they have said, we as people, we're not models. You know, we're not performers, but the robots are exciting to people. And that's true. You know, two guys on stage with a bunch of computers and electronic instruments versus two robots, that's exciting. Not the only reason they're great by any means. I think I'm having a different standard here. Certainly MF Doom was great, but I'm still fighting you on Paul Revere. You know, I think the costumes have to be as great as the music. And certainly that's the case with Daft Punk. I'm going to one of the early tracks, Robot Rock, which really tells their whole story and throws down the gauntlet. Daft Punk on Sound Opinions. Daft Punk, Robot Rock. Like Kraftwerk, we are the robots.
We want to throw this out to our listeners. Do you love a band in uniform? Call and leave a message on our hotline with your answer and why. 888-859-1800 or find us on Facebook or Twitter. After a break, Jim and I are going to share more songs from bands in costume. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.